Okay, I'll have you take a seat. Good morning. Good to see you this morning on this beautiful day that we're supposed to get rain, which I'm told is good. So we'll go with that. Get some rain. But what we really need is a whole ton of snow in the mountains, right? That ultimately is what we need. Well, we're in a series called What God Desires for You. And we all have desires for ourselves and for our loved ones. Maybe we don't think about them very often in a very concrete way. As you're a parent and you're raising your kids, you probably spend a little more time with that idea of just exactly what I want for my children. Well, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, then you're one of His kids. And so He has desires for you as His child, just like if you're a parent or a grandparent. And so what we're exploring is, what are those? Well, we're not being exhaustive here, but I'm hoping that it's helpful to you in your spiritual journey to spend a little time thinking about God as your dad, what His desires are for you. Now, there's an extra piece to this for us, and that is my desires for my kids might not be exactly what's best for them. God's desires for His kids is always exactly what's best. And if you have that level of trust in God, level of belief in Him, then opening yourself up to just exactly what is God's heart for me, what is His desires for me in my life, can be extremely helpful in your spiritual journey. So, we've talked recently in the last couple of weeks, we've talked about this idea that Jesus said, I've come, they may have an abundant life. And so we know that God wants you and I as His children to experience His abundant life. And we talked about one of those pieces to that, one characteristic of the abundant life is to be more like a Tigger and less like an Eeyore. Remember that? More positive and less negative, more seeing life from where God sits and where Christ sits, and therefore being able, even in the tough stuff, to have a sense of things that allows you to be more like a Tigger and less like an Eeyore. God is not interested in having His children walk through this planet on a downer all the time, negative all the time, woe is me all the time. Because of what Christ has done for us and because of our relationship with God, we have this ability to be more like a Tigger than an Eeyore. God wants that for us. Then last week we talked about this idea of being generous, having a generous spirit, a giving spirit. We focused mostly on the idea of our finances because the Bible talks a lot about materialism and finances. So we need to understand that and deal with that. But you also can expand that beyond that to the idea of just being a generous person, a giving person, because it's God's very nature to be that way Himself. And so He wants us to be like Him, and being generous is one of those. Well, I've used this illustration every Sunday. How many of you are getting tired of it? Raise your hand. I've used this illustration every Sunday since we started this series because it's just important for me that it gets kind of cemented into our psyche. This is the globe, represents the world, represents what the world stands for. The world's value system and the world's priorities and all of that. That's what this is. This over here, the cross, represents God and Christ and our relationship with them and all that that means and all that that stands for. And the reality is these are poles apart most of the time. And so we talked about this illustration is if we end up focusing a lot of our emotions and our mind and our heart and all of that, and our passions, this direction, even unintentionally, then we pull away. It creates a distance between us and God in our relationship. But if we focus here, then as the world tends to go the other direction and do their own thing and kind of ignore this, as the world distances itself from the cross and from Jesus and God, we don't, because we stay close. Because it's where our focus is. We talked last week about Jesus saying, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. If your treasure, if if what's really valuable to you and really important to you is over here, this is where your passions and heart are going to be. This is where you're going to be. If it ends up getting sucked into this arena too much, then it pulls you away. So fundamentally, when we talk about God's desires for you, the foundational, I'm suggesting that the cornerstone of this whole spiritual experience and understanding this is this issue of where you put your focus, where you put your passions, where you put what's really important to you in your life. And if it's God and if it's Christ and them in your life and in your home and leading you and guiding you, then you're going to go way down the road of really connecting with God's heart for you and following Him. But if you get sucked into the world too much and get sidetracked by that and cave into that, then it's going to pull you away. So today we're going to talk about, with that in mind, we're going to talk about this idea of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is this Thursday, right? How many of you in this room are going to have turkey on Thursday? Now, if you were a turkey, that's a sad thing, right? Everybody's probably going to have turkey on Thanksgiving, and I hope you have a good Thanksgiving. I hope you're able to be with somebody or some buddies and enjoy that fellowship and that time together. One of the characteristics of the abundant life dovetails right with this week, having a thankful heart, a thankful spirit. I'm entitling this Thanksgiving Out Loud. And you'll see that why in a moment as we walk through the text. So turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. We're going to look at this principle as part of the abundant life that God has for us of being people who are thankful, who walk through life with an attitude of gratitude and appreciation in a lot of ways. And we'll see this in this experience in Luke chapter 17 with these 10 guys. I'm going to read verses 11 and following. You can follow along. I'm reading out of the NIV translation. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests," because they were at a distance, so he had to say it kind of loud. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Let me kind of delve in a little bit about behind the scenes and the reality of this situation. These 10 men that have leprosy, a disease that had no answer. They had no answer medically for it. It's a horrible, horrible disease. It destroys your body. Basically, the bacteria in your body reprograms your body at a cellular level to attack itself and destroy itself, causing pigment changes in the skin, sores that don't heal for months and months, fatal infections, easily susceptible to fatal infections, loss of sensitivity in your nerve endings. It just destroys your body. It can take up to 30 years for this process to happen. You can be 30 years in this whole destruction of your own physical body because of this disease. But not only that, back then it was a horrible emotional toll as well. Because back then you were cut off from everybody. They didn't have an answer for it. They didn't want it to spread, so they quarantined you. And they stuck you off out of the city in these leprosy villages or little communities with other lepers. You had no contact with your family anymore. Imagine being a parent. You gotta leave your spouse. You gotta leave your kids. No more hugging. No more playing. No more holding. None of that. You're gone. You're isolated. And that's exactly what would happen to the lepers. And so they just huddled together in this terrible environment. And it destroyed their lives in some very, very profound ways. So you can imagine how
myself to the priest when the leprosy is gone, not while I still have it. All the various forms of leprosy showing in their body. But somewhere along the line, these 10 guys had heard enough about Jesus. They knew God could heal. You see that in history in the Israelite nation and other places. They heard about Jesus and him being a healer and being from God. So at that moment, they decided to put enough trust in Jesus to go do what he asked them to do. Although there was no evidence anything had happened. And yet they still went. So, as they're limping along, as they're walking to go to the priest, what does the text say? As they went, they were healed. Now picture the scene. You've got a hand that's all shriveled up and half gone. And you're walking to go to the priest and all of a sudden your hand works. That's completely healed. You're limping because you've got a foot that doesn't work. It's half gone. All of a sudden the foot appears fully healthy. There's no more limp. Throw away your foot. Can you imagine the experience these guys had at that moment? When they're walking and saying, okay, we'll go to the priest. And then suddenly, they're completely healed of their physical disease and leprosy. Well, I can just picture the smile on their face. I can picture the laugh. I can picture them just being shocked, amazed, and thrilled because now they can just go, oh, my God. Now that they know what this means, their life has completely transformed. Completely changed. A miracle has happened to them personally. And they are excited and thrilled. I'm sure they ran to the priest so that they could run home and rejoin society. That's exactly what happened. Now notice in the text it says that one man stopped in mid-track, turned around, and ran back to Jesus. One of our biggest dangers is to think that physical healing is going to change a person. Not necessarily. It may change them physically, but it may not change them spiritually. So this one man out of the 10 stops and runs back to Jesus, and the text says he comes back with, in a loud voice, praising God. And what I want to do is look at that man's expression and his experience and pull out some principles about us being thankful and expressing thanksgiving and a heart, a spirit of thankfulness as we live life. So in your outline there, as you know, I provide outlines there to keep you awake and on track. So the first one is this. Track your blessings. If we're going to be people who have a spirit of thankfulness and of gratitude and live life that way, one of the things we need to do is track your blessing to their source. Track it to their source. That's what this guy did. He went back to the source. Verse 17, it says, Jesus asked him a question. Were there not 10 that were cleansed? Where are the other 9? See, here's the principle I want you to see about this, the struggle we have. There is a tendency in the human heart to enjoy the gift without worshiping the giver. To be thankful for the blessing without thanking the blesser. There's just this tendency that we can have to appreciate all that we have and appreciate it, but not turn back to the source of your praise and honor and appreciation. There's a teacher that asked her students what they thought were the 7 wonders of the world. And so they raised their hands, of course, and they went around the room and
my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. So he's talking to himself. So this is what I'm going to do. This is the kind of person I'm going to be. I'm going to spend some time and energy praising God. I'm going to think of all the things I can thank him for, and I'm just going to give him a list. Praise the Lord, I tell myself, and never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives, then he goes, he forgives all my sins, heals all my diseases, he ransoms me from death and surrounds me with love and tender mercy. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Then he goes on, actually, to talk more about that. Well, this leper who was healed had that experience in his heart and soul at that moment. He counted his blessings, if you will, at that moment. He recognized the source of this amazing healing, and he turned back with a heart of attitude of gratitude, a heart of praise and thanksgiving. I want to encourage us to be those kinds of people. Every one of us is a leper spiritually. Every one of us is a leper spiritually that has been healed by God through Jesus Christ, which is asking to be our Savior. And that if for nothing else, praise him for that. And thank him for that. When's the last time you thanked God that he saved you from your sin? When's the last time you praised God that he loves you so much and has given you a place in heaven? There's just so many things we can just praise him for and thank him for, just like this leper did. Let's not be one of the nine that is full of happiness and joy and runs home and moves on with our life and never pauses and never stops to go back to the source. And so I just want to praise you for what you've done in my life and all that you've given to me. Track your blessings back to the source. Second one I want you to see is this. See the place gratitude as in healing faith. Understand the connection between a heart of praise and thanksgiving and worship and God ministering a healing touch in your life. Physically, emotionally, relationally, whatever it might be. Understand the connection there. See it for what it is and the value that it has. In verse 15, Jesus, there's a word there used, they were healed. This is a medical term. It means mended or whole or cured. In verse 17, it says they were cleansed. This was used not just as a medical term, but as a wellness term. It was used in the social dimension as well. Basically, you're ceremonially clean. Now you can re-engage in society again. You can have relationships again. You can be part of your family again. That's the intent behind that. But there's one word that Jesus reserves only for the one leper. Verse 19, he says, rise and go, your faith has made you well. That made you well phrase is a Greek term, sozo. Now, it's mostly not used in the medical realm, although it is used in the Greek culture for giving birth to a baby. But it's used mostly in other ways. It literally means rescue from danger or save. The Greeks used it when sailors surviving a storm. It says they were sozo. They were saved from death in that storm. Matthew begins his gospel in the Christmas story by saying this in Matthew 1:21. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save. Same word. Save his people from their sin. Romans 10:9 talks about it in terms of when we confess our sin. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So that's the same word used here for this one leper when Jesus says your faith has made you well. We could easily read that to mean Jesus is referring to his physical existence, his leprosy. But he's not. He's referring to something much deeper. He's referring to the man's spiritual life, the man's connection with God. And that's what I want us to understand, the thankful heart, the attitude of gratitude to God. There's a direct connection between can't put conditions on a holy God and have faith at the same time. We can't say to God, as soon as you provide me with enough money, I will follow your instructions on giving and have trust in him at the same time. We can't say to God, if you will solve this issue in my family, after you do that, I'll get serious about following you and have faith at the same time. Faith is this idea of stepping out and trusting. Jesus said to the lepers, what? Go show yourself to the priest. They could have stood there and said, what, are you crazy? I'm still a leper. I'm not going to go show myself to the priest. And if they said that, I think they would have missed out on the phrase that said, while they went, they were healed. Because whatever level of faith they had, as the Bible says, you need faith as a mustard seed for God to do something. So wherever you are in your spiritual journey, we're not talking about being a giant of faith. We're talking about wherever you are, taking a step of faith in the direction of God and believing in him and following through with something he's directing you to do and trusting him with the results. And that's exactly what they did, and they discovered healing as a result. So what's Jesus looking for? Well, he's looking for guys like Noah and gals like Noah. Picture yourself as Noah. There's no floods. There's not even any rain. And God says, build an ark because the flood is coming. How many years did Noah spend building the ark? Anybody remember? 100. How many years are you going to walk by faith? Am I going to walk by faith? How many years are we going to trust God enough to say, I'm going to praise you and I'm going to thank you and I'm going to honor you and worship you regardless because I'm trusting you with my life? And so God's looking for people like Noah. He's looking for people like Abraham. Remember the promise, Abraham? You'll be the father of a great nation of people. And then he gave him a son. And then God says, now I want you to go kill the son. And it says in the text that Abraham believed God. Abraham knew that God was able to do what? A miracle, raise the dead. So he was going to follow God regardless of what it looked like. He wants people like Habakkuk. Look at the Habakkuk text. Small, minor prophet in the Old Testament. Look what he says. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes. Now, he's a farmer, right? And there are no grapes on the vines. Even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty. Now, what's he describing there? He's describing a disaster. Ever had a disaster in your life? He's describing a disaster. It's his way of saying, when my whole world completely unravels and falls apart, God Almighty to get you and me to a place where things unravel. Our first response is,
this guy is not quiet. This guy is so overwhelmed with gratitude that he can't contain himself. And so he's loud. He's a megaphone at this point, expressing his praise to God. And that's exactly what we're called to be, to amplify praise, to have it overflow in our hearts and our lives. It's kind of a perspective that says, regardless of what people might think of me and how they might view me, I'm going to make sure that I praise God with all my heart. And I'm going to express that to Him. Now, here's one of the best places to do that, in my opinion, in our culture. Do it while you're in the car driving with the windows up, all right? Have some music on if you want to have some music on that helps you do this. And I want you to sing in the car at the top of your lungs. And I want you to sing out loud. And I want you to pray out loud. I want you to declare to God how wonderful He is and how great He is and how amazing He is. And tell Him exactly why you're saying that. Okay, here's why you do it in your car when you're alone. Because the other people in the street that look at you and think you're crazy, you probably never see them. So you're safe. They can think you're nuts, but that's okay. You know, now if we did it here this morning, and we each decided to do it our own way, but we all decided to be really loud. By the way, there are some churches that actually do it that way. They worship that way. Yeah? We all might think we're all crazy. We might be. Now, I am not saying that's what we're going to do. But here's what I'm saying. When God looks at your heart, He wants to see out loud. He wants to see you so engaged in thanking Him and appreciating Him and praising Him, because that's what we're created for in part. That brings such a fulfillment to us, and He's so deserving that, amen, that we can just really, really express that to Him. And that's exactly what these guys did. They praised Him. Look what it says in Psalm 35, this one gentleman, Psalm 35, 27, 28. Let those delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad and say evermore, great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of His servant. Those who delight in my righteousness. What does he mean by that? Those who are so overwhelmed with the character of God. Those who are so appreciative of who God is and all that He is. I am so glad that God is holy and righteous and just. That brings such comfort to my life in the midst of a world that's tipsy-turvy. To know that there's a God in heaven that sits on His throne that eventually is going to make everything right, and He's just and He's righteous, and I can count on that. That's what this text means. Those who delight in Him, in His righteousness, what do? We shout for joy. I had a conversation this week about worship with a group, and one of the people in that group talked about how when they're at home alone and they worship, they dance. Now, they're a Baptist, all right? But they said, when I'm home alone and I turn on music in my living room, and I hold my hands up and I sing out loud and I dance before the Lord. Why don't you do that when you go home today? Or do something that says to God, I'm going to be loud in your presence. I am going to tell you how much you mean to me as my God and my Lord. That's what worship is. That's what worship is, and that's exactly what this gentleman did. As a result of that response to God in his life, God met him in a profound way that was much more than physical. He already met him physically, but he met him in his heart and soul and spirit in a profound way. You may be here this morning, and you may be broken spiritually. You just may be broken for whatever reasons. You may be struggling spiritually. You may be distant from God right now.
Can I suggest to you that you do something to kind of break through that or to begin to break through that? Can I suggest you do this in order to open yourself up to God touching you and healing you in whatever way that is needed? That you decide today or this week, I'm going to go for a drive and I'm going to get really loud with God. And I'm going to focus on praising Him and adoring Him and thanking Him. I'm not going to spend my time in this occasion about all my needs. I got a lot of them. I'm not going to spend all my time talking about my doubts and my fears and my struggles. There's a place for that. But what I'm going to do this time is just praise Him and thank Him and adore Him and worship Him, because He's God Almighty and He has saved me and He has rescued me and He has loved me and He has forgiven me. I'm going to open myself up to allow Him to heal me any way He wants in the context of whatever He does. I praise Him. Habakkuk said, my life completely caves in. First thing I'm going to do is praise God. I'm going to thank Him for who He is. I got to tell you, this is a profound, profound concept about God ministering in our lives when we need it, in the context of us praising Him and adoring Him and thanking Him in spite of, regardless of, the stuff that's going on. That's what Habakkuk is saying. So I want to encourage you this Thanksgiving week to thank God. And I want to encourage you to decide to do it, even if you don't feel like it. Decide to spend some time just rattling off how amazing He is and how wonderful He is, and declare to Him in detail His character and His presence in your life, and just let Him know that you really, really are humbly grateful that He's God, that He's in your life, and all that He does for you. That is worship. That is thanksgiving. That is gratitude. And when that happens, we open ourselves up to God doing really needed, wonderful things in our heart and soul. Let's have a prayer together. Father, thank You for this amazing concept and truth that I just am so burdened for my own life that it becomes more and more of who I am. That I truly worship You and praise You and adore You and thank You. You're so deserving of that. Sometimes I gotta admit I'm not in the mood. Sometimes I have to kind of muster it up. Sometimes it just doesn't feel right, but I know it's right. I know it's what You deserve. I know that You love me and that You have forgiven me. I know all this stuff, and I'm just going to give it back to You in an attitude of appreciation and gratitude. All this that You've done for me. And I pray that for every one of us in this room, that we will decide this week that we're going to go for a drive, and we're going to get loud, and we're just going to express our appreciation and